Welcome back to Elevate with Shaniqua Moore. Today, I'm excited to continue our Unveiling the Black Woman in the Community series, where we are bringing in different guests that's talking about their story and how they're changing their communities. We're going to dig a little deep and talk about what are the highs and lows that many women of color are facing that are leading our community. And tonight, we have Laura Judge with us.
Hi, how are you? Hey, Laura.
So excited,
I'm excited to talk here
with her, and I'll tell a story, but I want to read your bio first.
Okay.
And then tell her for the first time that I met you.
Yes.
So Laura, Ms. Judge, is a Navy veteran and mother who is passionate about educational justice. She's an advocate and volunteers with Moms Demand Action and PTA. Ms. Judge holds educational events for students and shares the importance of keeping kids safe around firearms. Ms. Judge comes from a family of educators and took a different path, becoming a scientist, getting degrees in bioscience research at Farmingdale State University, medical technology at Georgia Piedmont Technical College, and biomedical diagnostics, along with a Six Sigma Green Belt certification at Arizona State University. I did not know that about you. Ms. Judge serves as the education chair of Cobb County Commission, District 2 Community Cabinet, and is currently the president and chief operation officer of Content Monster. I hope I did not mess that up.
That is correct.
A marketing business she started with her husband.
Yes.
And as a parent and advocate, Ms. Judge strives to improve the community and schools through ensuring safety, quality education, and transparency in board policies and finances. Ms. Judge is thrilled to run. Also, she's running for District 5 for board member. That's incredible. I just learned some new things about
Yes.
you, and that's I love. So I want to share the story of how I first met you.
Yes.
We were at a community board meeting, and you were very fierce. I remember you just being an advocate. And I was like, hey, who's that? She's talking my language. She's talking about social-emotional well-being. And I didn't hear anyone else in the meeting talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the one that dared to go against the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, I don't care what the popular opinion is in this room.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring something different.
Yes.
And that was my first encounter.
Thank you. Yes. Apparently, a few people have seen that side of me. Both of my children are definitely in tune with their social and emotional development.
Yeah.
Something about Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
Oh, yes.
And me, myself, being a millennial parent.
Yes.
I'm learning to get in tune with that as well, because
uh-huh.
we were not raised that way.
No, we weren't.
And I've noticed that kids need adults in the room that yeah. advocate for them so yeah. that they can learn to advocate for themselves when they get to that point. And that's why I always speak up for them in that way.
Yeah, it's incredible. And so, like, advocacy is, like, really who you are.
Yes.
And I wonder, like, where does that come from?
So it actually comes from both my parents, mm-hmm. and then as well as me becoming a mother. As I was growing up, my dad was involved in the school board where I went to school, making sure us kids had quality education and fair mm-hmm. education.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother worked in the schools that we went to,
mm-hmm.
so it made it hard to be a pain for some of the teachers or to skip school
because uh-huh.
They were both there.
Yeah.
And then shortly when I became a mother after the 2016 election, my oldest child, my son, was 6 at the time.
Yeah.
And he had a reaction to the presidential election
yeah.
that I wasn't expecting from him
right.
Because he was 6 years old. And we try to keep politics out of the house.
Sure.
And something that my dad used to tell me was that all politics is local.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is extremely literal, mm-hmm. and he held me to it. So when I told him certain local political things that he can make changes in, he said, Mommy, come on, let's start going to school board meetings. Let's see who's going to be elected for our
That's
local legislators.
Incredible.
Yes. And
never heard of that.
Yes. And I didn't think he was serious at first, but he held me to it. And
wow.
that's kind of where I started and then where he kind of, like, where it comes from. My parents were definitely involved in education, making sure that the kids in the house and the kids in the neighborhood, too, were receiving fair and equitable education and just making sure that our community was safe for us as well. So,
yeah. It just, it's so, I'm like taken back by the fact that your son, that was 6 years old.
Yes.
Is the one that kind of sparked you to say, we're going to start doing this. Like,
yes.
Like the little man of the house.
He's always kind of been like that. from the time he was two, we said he was going to be the next president. He was born under President Obama.
Incredible.
And so part of his reaction to the 2016 election was because he saw a first in a president. Incredible. So he thought his time period was always to see first. So when another first in it happened, he was really upset with that. My dad and my mother, too, just it was more support from her end.
Right.
They definitely, and my grandmother lived with us too. So my grandmother was the fire. So if you ever see me being a fireman,
it's grandma.
It's my grandmother. but yeah, it definitely came from those three adults in my house of just being there fighting for what's right, knowing that I have the power within myself to make a change.
I love that. I love that. You're a fighter. You're an advocate. It is you.
Mm-hmm.
You've grown up into this. Your parents have been advocates in their own rights. Mm-hmm. Your grandma has been showing that fierceness that you took on.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, what is it like to fight? What is that like? What does it feel like for you?
Sometimes it's tiring, to be fully honest. It has its ups and downs because, you know, you can make small changes.
Right.
And it doesn't always have to be a mean fight.
Right.
Sometimes fighting looks like collaboration with people that you wouldn't normally collaborate with. Those moments make it great.
Yeah.
And when you see changes, that's really good. And to know that you're making change, that feels good. But there are times where you have to mentally have time for yourself. Where it does wear you down sometimes. And so, as with most things, the good days outweigh the bad. And there are definitely more good days than bad days. So I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to make a difference in children's lives.
I love that. And the both sides of it, because it's the duality of this is what I know I'm called to do. And I love the fact that I can help change people's lives. But there's another side to this, that human side. Like, it does get tiring. And we talked a little bit before we started recording about some of the systemic challenges that you're facing in Cobb right now. And so sometimes people can essentially get hopeless or, you know, when they're thinking about all the systemic oppression that they're subjected to in a community, you get that sense of, I don't trust government. I don't want to be a part of government. They're, you know, nothing's going to change. How do you inspire people otherwise?
Well, I'm also religious. I was raised in a Christian house, an Episcopal household.
Yes.
Near the end of my schooling, I went to Catholic high school.
Oh, wow.
And I've always looked at religion as a way, being something very personal to people.
Yeah.
I always joke that I have girlfriend-type conversations with God. And so it's always like, why are you putting me through this? Like, what is happening? And it's like, girl, I got you. Like, calm down.
Got you. And I'm calm.
Like, okay, God, I hear you. That's what keeps me going. This has definitely been a spiritual path for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're looking to others to make change, and I've went through this in the beginning before I decided to run for office, is that you look for someone else to do it. And then you look around and you're like, I think I'm the only person that's going to take this call.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a sit-down conversation, go in my prayer closet, talk with God, multiple conversations. Like, are you sure? Are you sure?
I heard it.
So it's a faith walk. It's definitely a faith walk. Because sometimes you're like, am I doing my own thing or am I following God's plan?
That's so good.
And so, and when you see the positive of the change, then you know that, like, you know that he's leading you on the right path. And so, I love it.
I love that and the realness of it, because mm-hmm. I think we often question ourselves and we're like, well, am I doing what I was called to do, right? Mm-hmm. Is this the work that I'm supposed to be doing while I was born, or mm-hmm. am I just taking on something else?
Yeah.
What is the difference? How could you advise women the difference between purposeful work and assignments that may not just be what you should be doing?
Ooh, that's a hard question. It's hard to know the difference all the time.
Mm.
Sometimes, especially for women, and then especially for Black women too, yeah. sometimes you just got to keep going and that's knowing good. That you're doing what you're called to do. You're walking in your purpose.
Yeah.
But definitely for me, it's having those check-in conversations.
Yeah.
I am not the most religious person mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the planet. I know mm-hmm. I'm not. But I definitely have sit-down conversations and do check-ins. I ask for where do I need to take my breaks at. The clarity comes in the silent moments.
That's really powerful.
Yes, yes.
So if I may, the silent moments, I feel like they have to be creative.
Yes.
Because oftentimes there's so much going on in our day-to-day lives. There's life is lifing and yes. then just happening. And it's like it's almost like it's not going to slow down until you intentionally create those silent moments.
Exactly. So as you were reading my background, I'm president of my own company with my husband.
Yes.
So we're running a business. I'm a mother of two active children. my son plays sports. He acts. My daughter does gymnastics.
Incredible.
And then I also need to be a wife to my husband as well.
Half heart.
and then I, as my husband likes to say, try to save the world.
Yes.
and so, yes, you need those quiet moments. And so for me, normally, I know some people like to wake up early in the morning and have their coffee and maybe work out. I am not a morning person. So you'll normally find me as the night owl. So the midnight, burning the midnight oil, 1 o'clock in the morning, when everyone's asleep, that's when I have
that's
my quiet time.
Yeah.
And then there's some days where I'm just going to focus on one part of my life.
So if
I need to be mother,
yes.
I'm going to fully be mother. Like this past weekend
was all
about my son.
Yes.
And so finding time for him so I'm not doing all the other things.
I love the fact that you talked about one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we try to do everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you can wear multiple hats, but you can wear them one at a time.
Yes.
You don't have to wear them all together.
My husband is a huge advocate of saying that no one can truly multitask.
Yeah.
Because I try to multiple times.
Agree with your husband.
But what you realize you're doing is you're jumping from task to task.
Yeah.
Rather than multitasking, getting multiple things done at once.
Yes.
And so there are moments where, yes, I listen to my husband, and I take the time to focus on one thing at a time.
Yes. So what is it like being, like, superwoman to the community, and then, I guess, superwoman to your family? What is it like?
Sometimes it's daunting.
Yeah.
It's surreal. It's a lot of emotions, because sometimes you feel like you got to do it. Because, again, it's a faith walk for me.
Yeah.
And then other times it feels amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you have the love of your family and your children mm-hmm. and the love of the community, and they're looking to you to make this positive change.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's almost like, me? You're talking about me? and you have a bit of an out-of-body experience.
Yes.
And so it's a lot of things all at once. And, like, I think that also to go back to your previous question of knowing that you're in your purpose,
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you have that multitude of feelings, I feel like that also helps to knowing that you're walking in your purpose.
That's incredible. And it reminds me of something. We celebrated Dr. King Day in January
mm-hmm.
for his birthday. And one of the things I wanted to do with my daughter is take her to, like, the museum.
Yeah.
Sort of, we went to the church that he pastored, the mm-hmm. newer church, yeah. and then the old one. Went to the museum, and I was blown away. We came across this particular, I guess, display, and it was Dr. King's suitcase. So mm-hmm. essentially what he had in a suitcase the day that he died, that he was murdered. And when you look at sort of his suitcase, it's so simple, like what he carried. It was like a to-do list, like his two books, like maybe one pair of clothes. And I thought that was so profound, a person that changed the trajectory of our world carried something so simple in his suitcase.
Yes.
My question is, what would you carry in your suitcase? And it could be like figuratively or, you know, or physically.
Well, the reason I laugh is because I am still a woman, so it's probably too many pairs of clothing. You know, a daytime and a nighttime outfit.
Yes, for sure.
And then just in case I don't like the daytime outfit, a
backup. You gotta have the backup. Yes.
But no, truly, oh goodness. Of course, my toiletry bag. That's number one. That's normally the first thing I carry.
Yes.
Something, if it's me by myself, because I know Dr. King traveled sometimes without his family around. So
that's right.
It's something to remind me of my family. You know, we travel a lot together as a family.
Yeah.
And if it's not with the kids, it's me and my husband together. We don't really solo travel.
Yes.
It's changing a little bit now that I'm a politician.
Yes.
But, it's always something to have, to know what my family's doing. So it'll probably be my cell phone, which has pictures of them rotating.
Yes.
And going back to my grandmother, an extra pair of underwear.
Because
you never want to go to the ER.
I hear that all the time with dirty
underwear. Yeah. You want to make sure you have clean underwear on.
The things we think about as women.
Yes. Right?
I love it. So your toiletry bag, your phone, of course.
Yes.
Extra outfits because, hello, you got to be prepared for the occasion.
Yes.
We don't know what the occasion might just be, right? And something to remind you of your family and extra pair of underwear.
Yes.
I love that. And tell us more about what you're doing right now. You're a politician.
Yes.
You're running for office. Mm-hmm. You're leading. You're co-running an organization with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
What is sort of like your main goal in this season?
Ooh. Well, right now I'm focusing on getting to qualifying for office.
Yeah.
So our business is going very well. We've been very blessed. My husband calls himself co-founder. And I am not co-founder with him. I'm president and chief operations officer.
Nice.
The co-founder of our business is God.
I love that.
And so we have been blessed.
Wow.
And not that I'm putting it on the back burner, because my husband would probably kill me. I'm keeping our business up and running.
Yeah.
But I know that we have a pretty well-oiled machine right now.
Yeah.
That we're moving forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are doing really, really well. I know I talk about my son a lot, but my daughter, you'll also hear me advocate for literacy.
Yeah.
She had struggles with reading in the beginning of her education journey. I learned how to advocate and help her advocate for herself with helping herself to read. Wow. And she has made leaps and bounds. So they're both doing well in school, which is currently their job. They're at the age of being pretty self-sufficient at home, so I can lean back on that a little bit as well, because they can feed themselves, they can wash their clothes.
Incredible.
It's great.
It's incredible.
It's great. You have to remind them, but they can do it all themselves, and so I get to focus on the advocating for education right now.
That's awesome.
Which comes with the title of being a politician, something I never thought I would do. My background's in science.
Yes.
And I'm prior military.
Yes.
Sometimes when people hear all the things that I've done in my life, they say I should write a book.
Yeah, I would read that, especially with your name alone. I'd read it. Laura Judge. Yeah, sure, I would read that.
And I think that I've been put in that area at those seasons for a reason. While I never thought I would be a politician, except for maybe when I was 7 or 8, and I thought I would be the first black female president.
Wow.
I never thought this would be my pathway.
That's incredible.
But obviously it was a thought early on for a reason.
It was. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful. We're coming to a close, but recently I worked with the kids in my church, yes. Embassy City. Shout out to you guys. And talked to the kids about purpose and about our image and what we want to do in life versus what God wants us to do.
Yes.
And it was so interesting hearing their perspectives about what they want to do, what they want to be. But it comes from a place.
Yes.
When you're a kid and you're dreaming about it, it's not just a random thought
no.
for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it speaks to our true calling and our true purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what we've been talking about a lot tonight.
Yeah.
So what encouragement, as we're coming to a close, can you give to women that may be lost about their purpose? And they're like, yeah, I don't really know if I'm walking in mine or if I have discovered mine.
Well, sometimes it's good to be lost.
Ooh.
Because if you're not lost, how can you be found?
That's so good. Let's go, Miss Judge. Where's the book at?
So sometimes it's good to be lost. And I've always been the type of person to find the silver lining in things.
Yeah.
Sometimes, again, it's okay to sit in it.
Yeah.
And just be okay, because it will come to you. Just don't wallow in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get up every day. Do what makes you happy.
Yes.
And if it doesn't make you happy... I'm also a Sagittarius. Sometimes people joke about Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit flighty. Mm-hmm. We change our mind. So you can jump to the next thing. It's okay.
Yeah.
I've met people who've had multiple careers.
Yeah.
And been successful at multiple careers.
Absolutely.
I've also met people with multiple careers and failed at one or two and been successful in three and four.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay to be lost. You will get there.
Yeah.
And just keep moving forward.
That's incredible. Y'all, it's okay to be lost. I'm embracing all of her incredible words of wisdom. It's okay to be lost, because if you're not lost, how could you be found? And do what makes you happy. And if whatever you're doing right now doesn't make you happy, it's okay to do something different.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Yes.
How could people reach you? I want to reach out to you, support you. How could they reach you?
So
what
my
are the
website
channels?
Is lauragudge.com. And then all my social media is Laura T. Judge. X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok. my Facebook page, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, T, Judge, J-U-D-G-E. And then my website is just lauragudge.com.
Incredible. Please reach out to her, follow her content, follow what she's doing. She's really changing things in Cobb County and Mableton. And it's an honor to be able to be a resident over there and be a recipient of what you do and hopefully a partner in what you're doing. So thank you so much, Laura,
for
spending time, for blessing us with all your words of wisdom and your lived experience. Keep on pushing and doing what you're doing. You're needed in our community as a parent of Cobb. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. I love being in community with you, because when you surround yourself with other strong women, it makes you stronger as well.
That's right. And women, that's what we have to do in Women's History Month. Surround each other so that we're stronger together.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for listening, for tuning in, and for watching this incredible episode. As always, we want you to elevate this message and share it out to someone else, to another woman that needs to hear a word of inspiration, so that we can continue elevating what we do. Thank you so much. Don't forget to subscribe to us at iRace.org on all social media platforms, and also on our podcast at Elevate with Shaniqua Moore. Thank you again. We'll see you soon.